This is the news according to me. Well, it is. It's the news, and it is according to me. And as promised, I'm back. This afternoon's show. I'm trying to throw this in the can pretty quickly. It's not going to be a really long... I don't think it's going to be a long show, unless I start getting really winded. We'll get through this, because we're all in this together. Stay safe, because we're all in this together. I'm sipping on some sweet iced tea right now. Even though it's there's snow on the ground here in northern Indiana, and we have warnings for a hard freeze tonight again. It's almost nearing the end of April here. Because, you know, global warming. Well, that didn't work. Well, climate change. Yeah, that's what it is, climate change. Which has been happening all over the world for the last 1,000 years or more, ever since the dawn of creation. Weather has changed. Well, I should say after the flood. Did you know that when Noah was building the ark, up until that time, there was no record of any rain. A lot of people don't realize that. They were not used to water falling from the sky. Now, there's some interesting speculation on that, about how the earth actually looked, how it was at the time. I have some theories of my own, in fact. That's all they are, and that's all they need to be. Because my theories are just as valid as these people who studied everything, and they, billions and billions of years ago, which, you know, 40 years ago, if you would have said billions of years ago, they would have said you were insane. This all happened. The earth, just saying that the earth was more than 10,000 years old was kind of controversial. But they had to start fitting all these fossils and stuff into everything, and so they had to start, you know, the carbon dating was so bad. There were people that were still alive. They found some bones that they thought were 1,000 years old that found out they had just, those people were, they had been born and died within a generation of them. Like they were like 30, the bones were like 30 years, had been there for like 30 years. So I just... Oh, we've got it more perfected now. It's a much more perfected science now. So we have it all down pat. Now we know that these dinosaur bones with flesh on them, mind you, are 300 billion years old, and there's no way that dinosaurs lived at the same time man did. So how exactly did man just pop onto the scene? Where's that missing monkey link? The missing monkey. It's not Neanderthal man, because there are still people with Neanderthal DNA in our midst. There's a whole lot of problems with this spontaneous mutation idea. One is that it would take basically two. Normally, when mutation happens in a radical way, typically, the mutation is sterile, typically. Or when two different kinds try to, even sometimes within the same kind, try to procreate, they tend to have issues. The offspring typically is sterile. Of course, I'm sure that didn't happen billions and billions of years ago. There was a lot more going on there. So I just, the more I have studied, the more I have learned. I used to be when I was a kid, I reconciled the whole thing by just saying, well, that's just how God used evolution. That's how we got here, but God still created it, but he just used evolution to get us to where we are. I just okay, next subject. I didn't have to argue with anybody about that. When you start talking about creationism, And the Bible actually saying 6 days, and it meaning 6 days. All of a sudden, you become crazy man to the world out there. Oh, you don't believe in science? No, it's actually, there's some scientific explanation for a lot of that. And you guys have refused to look at the science that actually exists. You guys want to come up with conjecture and theory, anything but that, because that's, you just can't bear to. Anyway. Anyway, I had a little talk this morning, of course, about the whole thing with Derek Chauvin trial. There's more trials now coming up. In fact, there's this one where this one young lady was trying to stab another lady, and the cop shot her. And there was a riot because of that, because she was just a kid. Shouldn't have shot her. She was just a kid. This kid looked like a full-grown adult to me. So it wasn't just, we're just not talking about a small child. If you've got a 5 or 6 or 10, or even a 10-year-old that is wielding a knife, okay, I can see getting involved in that. We're talking deadly force here, and we're talking, these officers today are not trained in hand-to-hand combat like they used to be. The technology tools that we use today are taser, gun, pepper spray. That's about it. To gain compliance. And, I wasn't going to get into the subject very much. I was going to get into the cultural thing, but the culture war. The war on culture. I was going to talk about it now, and that's what I'm going to talk about. After this brief message from our sponsor. Yes, this episode is sponsored by Crickets, because there's really no sponsor. I don't know how to tell you this, but we don't have a sponsor. You get 1 hour of content with this show, and that's what you get. You don't get this 20-minute-long bumper at the beginning, and then 5 minutes of me talking, and then the news comes on, and then there's advertisements, and the news comes on again. And then there's another ad, and there's bumper music coming in at the bottom of the hour. There's the bottom of the hour bumper music. And then after the second hour, I take a guest. I let a guest call in. And the guest calls in. This is the second hour now. I've got like 15 minutes of content. I'm just talking about basic radio show operation. 15 minutes of content, and then by the second hour. And then a caller calls in and they ask a question, and I kind of divert that question off into my talking points again, and I just go back over the same thing every time. And then another caller calls in, and I just joke around with them, and again I interrupt them and I start talking on my own and I cut them off, and then I hang up on them, and then we go back to a bumper music or a commercial or a bumper about how good my show is. So in the third hour, now that we have about 30 minutes of content actually on the show, most of it repeating from the day before. Yeah, I digress. I'm just picking on some of these guys that are getting paid millions of dollars a year to do what I do for free. I provide all this to you for free. All this entertainment is all free. So let's talk about what is really going on. And it's kind of the elephant in the room. And I know I get in trouble for talking about this. So I want to start with this initial disclaimer. I want to start with a disclaimer here, because realistically, the real crux of this whole thing is that and why we get into so much trouble with this sometimes is that the whole subject is very subjective. It's not a cut and dried thing we're talking about. When we talk about culture, when we talk about ethnic groups and what people believe and the different things that we go through regard to different people groups. Now, the other day I played a little video about Jim Jordan going after, what's her name? Val Demings, I think it was. I'm not sure. I think Jordan's from Ohio. I can't remember where Val is from. I can't remember if she's from the East Coast or West Coast. I think she's from one of the coasts. She just coasted in from one of the coasts. And they kind of got into it about the whole, you know, police thing and how Republicans are all of a sudden finding it very convenient to use police as pawns. That's really rich coming from a Democrat. I don't know if they remember whether or not a particular Capitol Police officer, Sicknick, he happened to be used as a political pawn, which just disgusted me. Now, they have already started to roll out and started to make statements about how this is, they're just getting started. I on the way over here today to my office, I'm at the office now because the cat isn't here. So I can focus and concentrate highly this, highly, you know, highly dangerous material. I was on the way over here and I heard this guy, basically was being interviewed. He said, you know, we won this with a combination of violent protests and peaceful protests. And he goes, if that's what it takes to get heard, that's what we're going to do. So now they think that the violent protests were successful. Because if they don't get the verdict they want, this, he basically said this. If we don't get the verdict we want, people need to know that we're going to burn the place down. This is mob rule. We are literally, I mean, not figuratively, this is literally the mob scaring people into making judgment calls. And I don't know what you think this is going to do to the crime rate. I don't know what you think this is going to do to policing and police in general, how they're going to respond and react to certain calls. When an officer, when a woman is about to jump on another girl with a knife to stab her, and a police officer takes her out, and he's the bad guy, when that starts to happen, something is very upside down. And I have said this before, and I will say it again. Now, Brian Kilmeade this morning was talking about this issue. I happened to have it on when I was driving around. And he had this guy on there. And Brian went into this thing. And, of course, he had some kind of caller called in and said, there is a systemic problem, but the systemic problem is that there's poor kids that don't have, you know, opportunity, and they get desperate and all that. Just whatever this systemic thing is, people keep talking out of their pie hole like they know what this is. It does not exist. Okay, there have been statistics quoted and shown over and over again in every form that there is the systemic issue is virtually gone. One could argue that it cuts both ways in certain circumstances. In the case of Eric, and one person said, this is Greg Gutfeld, actually said, now, I understand what he was saying. He said he actually feels happy that the verdict was guilty on all three counts because he's relieved that his neighborhood will not be looted because his neighborhood was looted at one point. There were riots in his neighborhood. So it was very scary. And his entire neighborhood was turned upside down and burned. He's glad that the trial ended the way it did. Now, Judge Jeanine Pirro tried to argue with him about that. We shouldn't sacrifice one man's liberty, one man's, you know, we shouldn't put somebody up there as a scapegoat for the sake of the rest of us feeling like we're going to live at peace. We're going to buddy up with what I call the devil, because you're buddying up with evil. These kinds of threats, based on things that are not true, based on media hype and lies, this cannot go well. You know, this is such a complicated issue, because it comes down to, you have to ask yourself a lot of questions. When I sit back and watch this whole show, this thing we call life, what's happening in our country right now, when I sit back and watch this circus with no ringmaster, I have to ask myself, what is the motivation why does the media get involved and promote and want? Seems like they rejoice in the chaos and the rioting and the looting and all the violence. Now, you have to understand, you might say that the beginning of this was when the Orange Man Bad was put into office, and we had to, within the first, it was on Inauguration Day, they had a big, big, huge protest, and they had protests after that, and they had the Women's March, which is actually nothing but an anti-Trump march. It wasn't really a march, it was just people standing around talking about blowing up the White House. And unruly, crazy people saying and doing stupid things. Because Orange Man Bad. Because they had decided on their own that they were more virtuous than the Orange Man. And they couldn't believe that this disgusting, filthy pig had gotten into office. Because, you know, Bill Clinton was a saint. I'm not going to talk about Barack Obama, but except to say this. There was a lot more going on behind the scenes with Barack Obama than people would ever believe, because the media portrayed him as a squeaky clean individual. They didn't dare touch the hallowed one, because, you know, if you disagreed with a man on principle, you were a racist. If you were Donald Trump, you were just a racist because you're a racist. If you supported Donald Trump on principle, you're a racist. Because, you know, if I disagree with you on something, you're a racist. That's just the way the left thinks. And that kind of rhetoric is what has gotten us here today. Now, you know, they're still going to blame Trump for all this upheaval and all the bad things that are happening, even though when you look at most of these cities, we're talking about where the majority of the rioting has happened and where the majority of the violence has happened and where the majority of the police issues are happening. They are typically states that are run by Democrat governors, in cities that are run by Democrat mayors, with Democrat council people, and have minorities as their chief of police, and a lot of times the police themselves are minorities that are involved in some of these incidents. So where do we go from here? And it's the scary thing is there is an agenda behind this. And this is, people don't realize there's an agenda that they're going to continue to push forward. And they're, like they're saying, they're just getting started. The agenda is going to continue. Now, because of what Maxine Waters did in the night before the verdict, she inserted herself into the equation and basically gave the defense a blank check for an appeal, which means there will be a new jury, possibly in a different county. Now, everyone in the country, you know, find me two people who have not heard about the George Floyd incident or about the Chauvin case. You know, unless you can find some Amish people who haven't been involved in it at all, which they, you know, they have ways of getting the news as well. But, you know, there may be some hermit somewhere or somebody who just doesn't watch any news. But we're talking about a very rare individual, probably somebody that you don't want sitting on a jury, because they probably can't read and write. It's probably some Japanese soldier somewhere who still thinks the war is not over. All this stuff, is leading to something. And here's the issue. How do you solve this problem? Are we heading towards a solution? Do we really think? You know, Biden's getting up there basically saying, oh, we've now started a movement towards, you know, we need to keep the work going forward and we need to keep going, you know, moving on with this. This is a good start. What are you proposing to continue to stop whatever it is you're trying to stop here? Let's see at least a 5-point plan over the next 2 years to stop, because they have a plan. I'm convinced there's someone with an agenda who thinks that they can understand. Well, this is the dilemma, though. They need the division. They need the upright. They need to keep this going. In my opinion, there's more political unrest between the races today than there ever has been in my lifetime. There were pockets of it back when I was a kid. I think it's actually worse now. But I digress. This is the crux of the issue is a cultural issue, not a skin color issue. There are plenty of minorities in this country who do very well. You don't see them demonstrating in the street about the way they're treated. You don't see them accusing white people of being white supremacists, that white supremacy was in the foundation, sewn into the foundation of the fabric of our nation. This kind of rhetoric, and it's coming from people in the administration, really has no place in our country. It does not help us move on. It does not help us come together in any kind of healing fashion at all. Now, I know I'm going to suggest this again. I know I've said it before. I'll say it again because at some point, somebody's going to listen to this. Somebody's going to hear one of my podcasts and they're going to go, oh, hey, that guy's got a podcast. Somebody somewhere is going to hear one of my podcasts. I guarantee you. No, there's a lot of people out there listening. Somebody who can, you know, maybe stand up and make a difference. Maybe this is going to influence just one person's life. Because I tell you, this isn't a skin color issue, and I'll tell you why. This is how I can say this without any kind of hesitation. Even though I hesitated there, get that? See how I did that? We really need, as a people, to forgive each other. seeking vengeance is not necessarily, especially for offenses that didn't happen to us personally, or were not committed by someone against us or against someone we know even. It's very easy. You know, I used to have this business. It's story time here. Settle back, listen to a story as you settle back to sleep. I had a business when I was younger. I've had several businesses. I've had way too many businesses in my lifetime. Before I got married, I had a couple businesses, and then after I got married, I had a couple businesses, and I have a business now. Had a couple businesses since, you know, over the 30 years I've been married. Probably going to have another business yet before it's all done. Now, actually, though, I've kind of gotten to this point now where I think I'm just going to start investing in other people's businesses because I just don't have the energy to start up a business again. But I have this real respect and interest in people who start something from scratch. I like to get behind businesses that have good ideas and good people working on it, talented, who know what they're doing. It's fun. So, and I'm doing that right now. I've gotten behind some people that are doing some things, and I want to kind of continue doing that. And it's not a matter of making money from it. It's just being involved in someone's, you know, trying out their dream. Whether they succeed or fail means nothing to me. Well, I mean, I want to see them succeed, but it's not like I'm in it for the money. Well, they don't make any money. I'm going to be mad. No, that's not me. I'm sorry, but something that I would, if it were me, I would be involved right there with them and doing what I could do, but I can't, so I'm just going to give them some money to do it. There you go. I'm just a silent guy in that partnership. So I have this interest in doing that kind of thing, and I don't even know where I was going with that, but I had a business when I was younger, and I would go home. And there was this other guy that I was kind of in competition with, sort of. It was kind of a limited market for this particular service that I was offering, the business I was in. And there was another guy that I kind of would talk about a lot because I had to, you know, I kind of wanted to talk out loud, kind of work through my thoughts. So I would talk about this guy a lot. And the stuff that he was doing and how it would, because I kind of had to work along with this guy, even though he was my competition. I can't really tell you what the nature of the, well, I can, I'm not going to talk about what the business is, but I'm just going to tell you, it was just a interesting situation. So I had to deal with this guy, and he had to deal with me, and I had to deal with him. So we dealt together, and but we were kind of in competition. And this guy would pull a lot of underhanded stuff. Now, at one time, I talked about going to work for the guy. And his business partner didn't want me to do that because they had already promised somebody else the job, basically, even though he wasn't really working very hard at it. And that wasn't where his heart wasn't in it. I had a passion for it. And I was doing it because I really didn't want to do anything else. The guy was kind of using that as a stepping stone to get somewhere else. And I would have been fine with that, but I was really happy with doing what I was doing. I was all in what I was doing. And so I was working hard at it. And because of that separation, we became kind of competitors. And this other guy would pull things and do things, and he would kind of cheat occasionally, and he would try to underhand me on some things, and I would go home and talk about it, what this guy said or what he did. And I was, you know, after I talked about it, I was fine with it. I kind of got over it. I kind of got it out. And I wasn't done with it, but I was at peace with it. It is what it is now. You know, it's, I got it out, said something about it. Well, my wife would hear me talk about this kind of thing. Now, she was in a position where she couldn't do anything to change the situation, and yet she wanted to. She wanted to help solve the situation, and her only way of... So she's in this kind of a frustrated situation where she can't do anything about it. So the natural tendency is to take offense on my behalf. So now she feels offended or cheated by this guy, and yet she can't do anything about it. So it just festers with her. This happens so many times with people. Like, you know, you hear a story about a man that was killed by police. And of course, then they start using the word murder, and they start using all these other terms, and they start saying this and that, and they start coming up with, you know, various narratives about the whole thing. And the race baiters come in, and they drum the thing up. And they parade it around, and they treat the person as if he's a martyr, and he was a good person. Even though he robbed someone at gunpoint, tied him up, called him hostage. But he turned his life around. He was, you know, on the straight and narrow track. He just happened to be passing off some phony 20s to try to get some drug money. That was, you know, he's on his way out. And I'm not saying that makes you a bad person. I'm not saying that you're just because you're desperate in a situation with an addiction. Believe me, I had some people close to me who had very desperate situations. I understand it. I've worked with people. When I was 20 years old, I believe 22 years old, between 20 and 22 years old, I was working with people who were coming out of jail who were had come from broken homes, drug addiction, crime, all kinds of issues. And I didn't just meet them in a room once a week. I was in charge of a home where I lived in the home. And we had 8 to 10 of these guys at a time living in the home with me. Young kid that I was responsible for these people. I must have been crazy. Looking back on that. So I'm very familiar. I've walked alongside some people who've had these issues. I've had some relatives, people very close to me, who've had these problems. One who passed not too long ago. And I get it. I understand. However, you still make choices. However clouded your judgment may be, continuing to make choices and decisions that are not helping or solving or moving in a positive direction is still a choice that you have the power to make. Maybe you don't think you do. Maybe you think you're powerless, but you're still making the decision in the wrong direction. At the end of the day, that's really all we can do is make decisions, choices. And we have a choice right now as a country. We can own up to the things we've done and move on from those things. Or we can continue to go down this never-ending rabbit hole of accusations, vengeful thinking, actions, entitlement, irresponsibility, blaming other people, excuses, selfishness, and making somebody pay. We can keep going down that route. Well, let's see how that works out for us. Or, Brian Kilmeade was very, getting back to the story about Brian Kilmeade, he wasn't sure how we go forward from that, but there's got to be a solution. Well, there is a solution, and I keep telling you, I keep bringing this up, and I know it's not a popular thing. And I know that people get mad at me when I talk about it, because you don't know what you're talking about. It's your white, they start, and then it comes in with all the excuses. It's a white privilege. You have white privilege, you don't understand it. It's as if they think, no, I've never been bullied. I've never been mistreated. I've never been pushed around or had the system, mess me over. I got to tell you, one of the best things I ever learned, I ever was taught in high school. Had a teacher by the name of Mr. Weaver, taught government class, which was pretty much a throwaway class. He was a coach for football and wrestling. I didn't play football. Well, I tried in junior high. I was too small. I was a runt. I graduated when I was 17 years old. I was just a little bitty kid. I was small anyway, but I was even smaller because I was so far behind everybody. So football wasn't my thing, but wrestling worked out well. So he was my coach, and he had this one saying, Weaver's Law Number One, he called it. Weaver's Law Number One. I still remember this to this day. I think he had some other laws as well, but this was the one that everybody always quoted every day. I pretty much remembered it. And it's very true. And to this day, I have to say, he hit the mark on this one. Are you ready for this? It's very simple, and probably you've heard it before, but it's something that you can take to the bank, or not, because of what I'm going to say, you may not be bankable. Weaver's Law Number One: life is not always fair. If that's what you're looking for. If you're looking for fairness, this whole idea of equity, and I'm not talking about equality, they want equity, equal outcome. So one person puts a lot of effort in, works really hard, studies, works their fingers to the bone, digs ditches, shoots 1,000 shots in basketball a day, whatever it is they do to develop their skill. Practices their guitar 4 hours a day, does equations in their head, studies, reads books, takes tests. That person should have the same outcome as the person who sits on their butt, plays video games, watches cartoons, plays music that talks about debauchery and all kinds of stupid things. Hangs out on a street corner, doing all kinds of recreational activity. That person should have the same outcome as the person who works hard. That's equality, or that's equity, I should say. That's what they're looking for. When they talk about equity, that's what they're looking for. They're not talking about equality. They're not talking about equal opportunity and equal treatment. In other words, if two people apply for insurance. The insurance should be the same for both people if they are both basically the same demographic in terms of, you know, if a non-smoker who's happens to have white, light-colored skin and another person has dark-colored skin and they both have a good driving record, they both don't smoke, don't drink, no priors, they should get the same rate. Now, gender, okay, they discriminate based on gender. Young men starting out driving, their insurance is higher than young girls.
Well, that's because young men are...
Oh, you're going to go there. You're going to start classifying all young men as irresponsible kids, and girls are better. You see where this goes? All of a sudden, you're discriminating. All of a sudden, you're a bigot. But that's okay because it's against young men. So we go down these roads, and it's all based on actuary tables. It's all based on numbers. Because the statistics show that young men get into more accidents. So your rates are going to be higher. That's not equity. It's not even equality. Personally, everybody should pay, you know, they should adjust the rates for everybody based on the whole collective. If that's the way you want to go that way, that's equity. But that's not what we have in the insurance industry. And it's going to get worse with all that, by the way. I'm not going to get into that today, but that's where we go. And it's based on statistics. Because you know why? Weaver's Law number one, life is not always fair. And that's just the way it is. We can try to make it more fair. We can try to be fair with each other. But it's not always going to be fair. I didn't say it would never be fair. I said he said it's not always fair. We accept it, we suck it up, and we move on. So I've said all of that to say this. You notice the trend there? I started doing that. In conclusion, if the churches in America, and I'm saying this in all churches, will start to raise the standard of calling people to forgiveness, on both sides of the race issue, which really isn't a race issue, it's really an ethnic group or a cultural issue. What is it that leads and guides an individual, a small young child, and I'm talking about young adults, to me they're small young child. Anybody less than 25 is a kid. What is it that leads them or motivates them to want to kill another individual? To pull out a knife and stab someone else? To rob someone else at gunpoint? How does a person do that? How does a person take another life, threaten another life, with no regard to that life? I think it starts when, really personally, I think the foundation of it starts when we start saying that a child in the womb isn't worth anything. It's disposable. So now all life becomes disposable. If an innocent child in a womb is not something to be protected, then no life is worth protecting. And we start to cheapen life itself. And that's a sad commentary on our society. We need to, as a people, start to see each other as human beings, start to preach forgiveness, start to preach some moral fortitude and values, to start to preach some messages that give us some introspect, that stop blaming other people around us. And I'm telling you, the church does this. They by continually telling you how good you are, just you're good people, and now people need to be encouraged. Don't get me wrong; they need encouragement, and they get beat up by everybody in terms of some of the words that they hear from their family or their friends or whoever it is. It's people that they respect. They get beat up a lot by things that are said to them. But in terms of the way we treat others, the way we call each other to accountability, that needs to happen. Lovingly, gently, whatever. But we need to start forgiving each other and not accusing, condemning, and being vengeful with each other, thinking that someone else owes me something. That is the only place this can start. And it's the only way it's going to end in any kind of growing, productive way. Otherwise, I'm telling you, we are going to descend into a civil war if things keep going the way they are. Because all we have for guidance right now is a humanistic set of morals that are based on personal feelings and personal offense. It's all about me. And that's the this about all that I said before. So there you go. That's the this of that. And I know I probably ticked some people off, but I don't see any other. If you have any comments, please comment. As I said earlier, this is all subjective opinion in my part. And I realize my opinions might change on this issue. But at this moment, I'm skeptical that the direction we are headed with what we're doing, that violent protests where other people are killed. How many people died in the riots that were a part of the George Floyd violent protests? There were peaceful protests, and there were violent protests and looting and rioting. People died in those. How many people died in those? And yet Nancy Pelosi didn't say anything about their sacrifice. Some of them died defending people's property, defending people's lives. But I guess they were just part of the cost. It's just a sad commentary. And I'm just going to move on from there. Let's talk about headlines, because, frankly, I get a kick out of these sometimes. Reliable News Now. Just got an email in. Just got it in. I mean, we were just talking about 5 minutes ago. At 3:31, and it's 3:33 now, I guess 2 minutes ago. Here's their top headlines for the hour. Biden to evade the filibuster and pass mass amnesty with just 51 votes. I have no idea what that's even talking about. I'll go back to that. Columbus police officer shoots knife-wielding teen. I think I talked about this as teen's innocent and saves innocent teen girl's life. For some reason, we have to talk about it as if he was a criminal. Riots have started over this thing already, by the way. So don't kid yourself. People are all upset. Black Lives Matter mob demands white restaurant owners leave New York City. They want all the white restaurant owners to leave New York City. Personally, if I was in New York City right now, if I was a restaurant owner there in New York City, you know what I would say? Okay. I don't know why they're even still there. I don't know why any restaurant owners are still there, black or white, frankly. It is a ridiculous place to try to run a business. Rand Paul says Fauci, is an elitist who thinks he's smarter than the rest of us. And that is absolutely the case. Fauci thinks he is the smartest person in whatever room he's in. And when he steps outside, same thing. This guy has some serious egomaniac problems. New research shows shingles are a possible side effect of the COVID vaccine. We'll see about that. Russia will soon have over 120,000 troops on the Ukraine's border. Yeah, let's talk about that. Why is that happening all of a sudden? Representative Steve Scalise, he's the one who was shot out on a playing baseball field by a Bernie supporter, almost died, was saved by Capitol Police. Steve Scalise says Biden administration is exempting illegals from COVID regulations. That's nice. Is Jen Psaki, Psaki, the White House secretary, press secretary, or is she Biden's translator? She's been making up for a lot of issues. Biden will say stupid things, and then she comes out and basically says, well, that's not what he meant. That's not what he said. That's not, he said he meant this. He misspoke. Now, folks, watch his last speech. He can barely talk. He's winded just trying to get through a speech. He looks like he's been up all night and he's tired. Like he just ran 10 miles, which he didn't do, by the way. The guy is tired. Russia opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, I think it's Navalny, is being kept away from his doctors. They're saying he could die at any minute. He supposedly was taken to a hospital, but they're not allowing him, his own personal doctors, like your family physician, the doctors who he's always had, they're not allowed in. State Republicans ready for battle over bringing back the earmark. Apparently, they want to bring back the earmarks. Earmarks have been very controversial for a long time on both sides of the fence, and I don't like them. Sometimes they are, if they can be done in a way sometimes that it does actually make sense. Problem is there's a lot of corruption in it. And that's why I don't like it. It's an opportunity for corruption. Maxine Waters may have handed Derek Chauvin's defense team a win in appeals court. We've talked about that. Biden getting ready to propose another massive spending package. Oh, good. another $2 trillion. AOC wants to have $80 trillion. Nancy Pelosi thanked George Floyd for sacrificing his life for justice. So we've talked about that. Tennessee Secretary of State warns against Democratic election law passed by House. There is a problem there. I've heard about this one, and it's basically a mirror or a mimic of what happened in, keep in mind, Tennessee is pretty much a red state. They had a Democrat bill passed within the House for what's going on there. So yeah, you're gonna see some interesting things happen that coming out of that legal battle right there. So there you go. Those are all the headlines they have there. I do want to look at here. I want to look at one other thing, and this is the current. This will come up quickly. I'm going to look at some of the current headlines on YouTube, some of the things that I look at. Crowder Bits, there's a little thing there about the Chauvin trial. Let's see if anything's Diamond and Silk. Where'd it go? Just went away. I just refreshed the page, so that's probably why. I guess the ATF has a proposal on ghost guns, which again is stupid because they don't understand what they're even talking about with that. Now we're having people comment on this gal, Michaela Bryant, who I think was the one who was shot with wielding the knife. We also have, Putin talks at COVID U.S. relations in annual address. By the way, the Soviet U.S. relations right now are an all-time low. And protests on Russia because of the whole Navalny thing. I don't see this anywhere in here, but earlier today, there was a speech by failed Supreme Court pick Garland. He's now the DOD. He's now the I believe isn't he the what do they call that guy? The DOJ, Department of Justice, Attorney General. He made a statement about investigating. Now they're going to open an investigation again into the Minneapolis Police Department. So they'll get to the bottom of that. They'll get that all straightened out, I'm sure. And they're going to launch an investigation there. So because they can't, find anything else to investigate. So here we go again with another investigation that basically is going to be an opportunity to get dirt on people. Sure, that's exactly what it is. It's all it ever is. Nothing will ever come of it. So we've got that going for us. Once again, coming up on an hour, and I'm going to try to keep this to an hour. And I just want to thank all of you for listening. Tomorrow morning, planning on having a show from my house, but the cat is not going to be anywhere around because I got to get a show done. So without cat jumping all over the rubber room, climbing on the ceiling. Once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with my opinions. If you have a chance to share your opinion on the issue of race and culture, ethnics, 574-742-6748. You can text or call the number, leave a message or leave a text. I'll try to respond to it, possibly play it on air. So help yourself to that. God bless everybody. Have a good night. God's still on the throne. We're still his people. He's not going to give up on us. Have a great night, everybody.